Our scripture lesson today comes from a hard chapter to find in the Bible. It comes from Genesis. Anybody remember where that's at? In case you've forgotten, it's the first one in the Bible. Genesis chapter 22, the first 18 verses, and you may look at those 18 verses and go, what in the world? As we look about Abraham and Isaac and God testing Abraham, why? At Genesis chapter 22. I love reading this story. I read it a lot. Simply because of the way the first verse starts out. I often find myself fascinated with the beginning of that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But chapter 22 starts out, sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey, and he took with him two servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went on together, and Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they had reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on that boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offsprings, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed there in Beersheba. 18, 19 verses. What a powerful set of scriptures that often get glossed over. But today we'll look at them and say, what blessing. Let us pray. Father, these are not my words. I do not write them. You do. I pray, Father, that these will have meaning and weight, and that they will go where they need to be and lift up. And that those who hear them will be strengthened anew for what is yet to come. And be taken from here, bound closer to you. I thank you, Father, that these would be words heard from you through me to all of us who need them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God tests me all the time. And he has a sense of humor about it, and I don't always find it funny. Now, we all know how I feel about the movie Shenandoah. about, especially that scene, you know, at the end, when they're sitting in the church and they're all broken up and the door swings open and here comes the boy in on the crutch, and there's old James Stewart, turns around, that big stoic man, starts bawling and they start the doxology up. Y'all know what that does to me. I am tough. And I sit there. So this week, this Saturday, because it was raining, I came home and I was clicking around the channel, and guess what was on? Shenandoah. Now, I was ready for him this time. Boop, I changed the channel. You ain't getting me. You know what God did, don't you? He brought me right to the end scene of It's a Wonderful Life. When they're playing that, I can't even talk about it. You all know that scene. And I had to think to myself, because recently I heard this statement, what blessing? With a question mark, right there at the end. What blessing? I don't understand how you, Mr. Christian, can look around and try to look for blessings. That's a challenging question. It brought me to a dead stop for a moment. That's a fair enough question. How can I, Mr. Christian, I don't even call myself a pastor. I don't like to. I don't like to be labeled that way. I just happen to be the one that gets up here and talks. I am no different. I am the servant. And so I have to think about things when somebody says something like that. What blessing? What blessing? You know, we as Christians, we're taught to just automatically say, well, look for the blessings, look for the blessings, look for the blessings, look for the blessings. It becomes a mantra, doesn't it? And sometimes you say it and you don't even think about it. Well, we'll look for the blessings. Sometimes it doesn't happen the way you would think. We get caught up in it so that when somebody challenges us, what blessing could there possibly be? We don't know how to respond to it. Well, I'm here today to challenge you yet again on how to respond to it. Been a lot of tragedy around me this week. 2 weeks. I'm challenged to try to look through it. I'm challenged to try to lead through it. And it came to me crystal clear. I don't always see them. I don't always get to see what the blessing is. It's not my job. That's not for me to figure out. That's not for you to figure out. That's not for you to sometimes even be able to begin to understand. Why? I don't know. I'm not God. I didn't write the rules. I didn't come up with this. But I certainly, as I look at it, as I look at his scriptures and his teaching, it starts to make sense. What blessing? I don't know. All the time. Sometimes a blessing is simple. Let's take examples, okay? I'm a big fan of examples. Yesterday, I shut my hand in the truck door. Again, you'd think by now I learned, don't shut your hand in a truck door. That sounds bad, doesn't it? You ever shut your hand in a truck door? It'll make you challenge your words as a preacher, let me tell you. But do you know what the blessing was? That the door, I was working on a truck yesterday, and a tool had fell in front of the door at the same time the door went shut, so it only pushed on my fingers a little bit. That's a blessing. I can see that blessing. I dropped the tool, didn't slam, no purple look. Works just fine. Problem is, it was his hand. That one's fine too. Examples of blessings. I have to tell on somebody for this. We were at the grocery store, and somebody in my family, who I shall not name, was loading the car, and pushed the grocery cart up to the side of the sidewalk, and didn't pay attention to the way they parked it. And it started to roll away toward our car. And I called to this person. And this person fussed at me, but then saw it coming toward the car and adjusted it. That's a blessing in disguise. Because it didn't roll out in the street and hit somebody else. Again, I won't tell you who it was, but her initials are Wendy. What blessing? How do you look at things and find a blessing? It's not always easy. It will not always make sense. Last Sunday, we lit the first candles. Anybody remember what we called the first candle? Who said that? Somebody said watchful. You're right. Candle number one is watchful. I'm telling you right now, I was not going to do a sermon based on these candles. I was not going to do a sermon series based on candles. I don't do sermon series. So the second sermon in my series is, what blessing? Candle two. And it's funny because it fit what they read. What blessing? Could it be that our life gets run over by blindness? Perhaps things at work. Perhaps things around you seal you off from that so that you just use that mantra. Well, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Yes, you are, but why? What blessing? Perhaps things in your circle of friends seal you off. You know who friends are, right? They can do everything to you, but they're not family. I love all my friends. But as I am a friend to many people, and many people are friends to me, we all let each other down regularly. It happens. Perhaps that's what's clouding it. It's hard to look at that blessing when you're seeing that blindness. Perhaps it's family. It's a tough time of year. A lot of people stressing out over family. I'm sitting in work the other day, and I'm listening to the fellas in there talking about how they got to go to their wife's in-laws. And their wife's in-laws don't particularly like them. And I'm sitting over there, and I'm sorry, the devil took over at that moment. And I leaned back in my chair, and I said, well, I don't particularly like you either. Perhaps that's what keeps us from seeing somewhere there's a blessing. What blessing? I don't know how it happens. I don't know how we get lost of it. And I'm telling you, when pain comes on full tilt. It doesn't stop. It doesn't pull back. And forever sometimes it will hurt. How do you set aside that? I often find myself, when I write, in a position that leads me to speak of the things that happen around me. I am continually reminded of my own short-sightedness. I was listening to a pastor this past week, Chuck Swindoll, as a matter of fact, who I am very, very, very fond of him. I look forward to one day getting a chance to meet him. And he was making a statement before he started into his sermon. And his statement went something along these lines. It said, I am who I am. For as long as I stand behind this box, you will get the words that are given to me. Sometimes I will speak of me. Sometimes I will speak of you. But I will always speak of what the Lord has pushed through my life. Pushed being the operative word. Then he went on to relate a story. Today is the first Sunday in December. It's December 7th. We all know what that Sunday means. But does anybody realize what the first Sunday in December means to me? I'm starting year number 8 here. 8 years ago, I was fired from the county. 8 years ago, I was a drunk. 8 years ago, I destined to take my own life because I couldn't see any way out of it. What blessing. 8 years ago, it was suggested that Paul Leatherman III, and there's enough people in this room now who knew me back in the day, was suggested that I perhaps, now having the attention placed fully on God, maybe call this woman Linda and go up and preach at this church. It was fully suggested to me, just go up there and spend a couple months. I laughed. I don't see this blessing. I see this as being work. I see this as being hard. Today is the first Sunday of December, year number 8. You want to know what blessing? Here's the blessing. Here is the blessing. I don't forget it. It took me the first year to see it. That's okay. But we think about what we just read about that scripture with Abraham. Go back to that. Open it up for a minute. And let's talk about that. Again, pay attention to the first verse where it says quite clearly, sometime later, God tested Abraham. And we all know who Abraham was. He is. Father Abraham. We're all here because of him. Father Abraham. Remember the song from Sunday school? I see the head starting. Father Abraham had seven sons. Many sons. See how dumb I am? Many sons had Father Abraham. Come on. I am one.
And so are you.
Sing it.
So let's just praise the Lord. Right on. Okay.
That's how it goes, right? The Lord's going to test him. The man that God spoke to, talked to. I would love for God to talk to me in that sense. This wasn't a mystic thing. This wasn't he went to sleep and he had a dream. This wasn't anything. The Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says, Abraham. And he said, here I am, Lord. He heard his voice. He had talk with him. God tells him, take your son Isaac and go kill him for my sake. What possible blessing could come from that? How hard would it be? How difficult is it for you, brothers and sisters, in the simplest forms of when you're being asked to do something you don't want to do, that you push on, not understanding what the plan is and what has been laid out. And so he does. He loads him up. There's the movie, good grief, what's that movie called? The Greatest Story Ever Been Told. Anybody ever seen that? It was on a couple months ago. And that scene is some kind of powerful. I believe it was, I want to say Gregory Peck or George C. Scott, one of them two. But anyhow, he's walking along with his only son. And they're trudging along. They actually go past Sodom and Gomorrah and the burned out cities. And the boy talks. And the whole time the father is carrying his great burden because he knows that he has been challenged by God. What he has to do, he has to honor God completely. But what is the blessing? You see him talking to himself. You see him thinking there is no way any good can come from this. And they get there. And where is everything at, Father? And he begins to build it. And then he walks over and he grabs Isaac. And Isaac falls out. And he binds him and he lays him down there on the altar. And he picks that knife up. And at the last moment, the heavens crack open. Oh, I love that. And that's, I am sure, that's how it was. Abraham, Abraham! Don't you dare. And as soon as he backed away, there's the ram. God provided for him in that moment. And blessed him, but that wasn't the blessing. That was the blessing then. What blessing? Let's move on a little bit further through that. Go on down to verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies and as the sand on the beach. Stop right there. Abraham did not understand that. He thought he was going to have a big family. Abraham did not realize that the blessing yet to come would be one of his own descendants, which would be who? There you go. Jesus Christ. He didn't know. He didn't know that there was a Messiah coming. This is early on in human history. This is at the beginning of things. Abraham lived to be 175 years old. All he knew at this time was he was being blessed at this moment. He didn't realize what was yet to come. Brothers and sisters, we don't realize what's yet to come when we stare down the face of tragedy. Sometimes all we see is the moment. Blessing. What blessing? The blessing was still yet to come. I want to read this story, and I'm going to warn you straight up. Fire up your Kleenex box, because I can't get through it. And also, I'm going to read another story next Sunday and the Sunday after that, because it's Christmas and I'm the pastor and I can do whatever I want. The story is called Christmas Eve, 1881. Pa never had much compassion for the lazy or for those who squandered their means And then never had enough of the necessities. But for those who were genuinely in need, his heart was as big as all outdoors. And it was from him I learned the greatest blessing comes from giving. Comes from the blessing. See, it was Christmas Eve, 1881. I was 15 years old and I knew the world was coming to an end. I felt the world getting ready to cave in on me because there just wasn't enough money that year to buy me that rifle I so desperately wanted for Christmas. We did the chores early that night for some reason, earlier than we ever did. I just figured because it was so cold and miserable, Pa just wanted more time to sit in front of the fireplace and read the Bible. And so after supper was over, I took my boots off and stretched out in front of the big fireplace and waited for my father to get down the well-worn Bible and start reading. And I'll tell you the truth, I was feeling sorry for myself. I couldn't understand how Christmas could be this way. But he didn't get the Bible. Instead, after supper, he bundled up again and went outside. And I couldn't understand why, because the chores were done. But I was too busy worrying about me. Pretty soon he came back in. It was a clear night, cold no less, and there was ice hanging down in his beard. And he stepped through the door and looked at me and he said, "Come on, Matt, get yourself bundled back up and bundle up good because it's cold out there tonight." I was bent out of shape then. Not only was I not getting a rifle for Christmas, now Pa was going to drag me out in the cold for no earthly reason that I could figure. We had already done all the chores. I couldn't think of anything else that would drag us out of that warm house on Christmas Eve. All I wanted to do was sit and be mad. But I knew Pa wasn't a patient man, and one's dragging one's feet would get him sorely in trouble. So I put my boots on, cap, coat, mittens, scarf, muffler, got myself ready to go. And Ma laughed a little bit and gave me a very mysterious smile. I opened up the door to leave the house. Something was going on, but I didn't know what. Outside, well, now I'm really shook up. There was the work team hitched up to the sled. We weren't going to go have any fun tonight. There was something more work to be done. I climbed up in it. Pa was in the seat, reins in hands, and I sat down beside him, getting madder by the minute. The cold was biting. I wasn't happy. It was Christmas Eve. Why am I out here? Why has everything got to happen to me? Why? And Pa yipped at the horses, and we took off around the house and stopped at the woodshed. And he got off, and I followed him down, and he turned to me and said, "Let's put on the high sideboards, Matt. Here, help me." The high sideboards? It had been a bigger job than the low sideboards. Whatever we were going to do was going to take all night. Didn't this man understand I didn't want to be here? We put the sideboards on, and my dad went in the shed and come back out carrying a big old load of firewood. That's my firewood. I'd worked all summer hauling them logs down off the mountain. All fall long, busting them things into blocks and splitting them up and stacking them just the way he wanted. And here he'd come carrying them out. I couldn't take it anymore. And finally, I said something to him. I said, "Pa, what are you doing?" And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, "You been by the Widow Jensen's lately?" The Widow Jensen lived about 2 miles down the road. Her husband died a year or so before and left her with 3 children, the oldest one being 8. "Sure, I had been by, but so what?" "Yeah," I said, "why?" He said, "I rode by there today, and little Jakey was out in the wood pile digging chips out with gunny sacks around his feet to keep him from the cold weather. They're out of wood, Matt." And that was all he said. He turned and went back in, another armload of wood, and I followed him. We loaded that sled up so high, I never thought them horses would ever move that load of wood. Pa called a halt to our loading. Then we went over to the smokehouse, and he took down 2 big hams and a side of bacon. And he handed them to me and said, "Put them in the sled and wait." And when he returned, he was carrying a sack of flour over his right shoulder and a smaller sack of something in his left hand. I said, "What's in the sack?" He said, "Shoes, son. Those children are out of shoes. And I got a little candy, too. How can it be Christmas without candy?" We rode 2 miles to the Widow Jensen's, on a cold night in silence. I was so angry at my father. What was he doing? By all worldly standards, we didn't have much. Of course, we did have a big wood pile that I cut. And most of it was now left in the form of logs that, guess what? I'd be cutting again and splitting. We also had the meat and fire. We could spare that, but we didn't have any money. Why was he buying them shoes and candy? What was he doing this for anyway? Widow Jensen had neighbors that lived 50 feet away. We came to the blind side of the Jensen house and unloaded the wood as quietly as possible. And we took the meat, flour, shoes, and a small sack. And we knocked on the door and it opened up. And a little tiny voice from inside said, "Who is it?" "It's Lucas Miles, ma'am, and my son, Matt. Could we come in for a little bit?" She opened the door Widow Jensen did and let us in. There she was, wrapped in a blanket. The children were all wrapped in one big pile of blankets, sitting in front of a fireplace that had a fire the size of a candle, could not have given off any heat. She fumbled with a match and lit a lamp, and my father looked at her and said, "Well, we brought you a few things, ma'am." And Pa set down the sack of flour, and I put the meat on the table. And then my father handed her that sack of shoes, and she opened it hesitantly. I took out the shoes a pair at a time. There was a pair for her and one for each of the children. Sturdy shoes, strong shoes, the best that would last for a long time. And I watched her carefully, and she bit her lower lip as it started to tremble, and the tears filled her eyes. She looked at Pa to say something, but it wasn't coming out. "We brought a load of wood too, ma'am." He turned to me and said, "Matt, go in there and bring enough to build up a big fire in here and stack some up so they don't have to go back out." I wasn't the same person I was when I went out that morning. The lump in my throat and the tears in my eyes were all but there. In my mind, I kept seeing those kids huddled around that fireplace, their mother standing there with tears running down her cheeks, with so much gratitude in her heart that she couldn't speak. My heart swelled within me to a joy I had never known before. I had given things at Christmas time before, but it never really seemed to have much effect. This time we were making a difference. I soon had that fire blazing, and everybody's spirits began to raise up, and the kids began to giggle and play. And they handed out the candy. Widow Jensen looked on with a smile that probably hadn't crossed her face in the past couple of years. And she turned to us and said, "God bless you. I know the Lord has sent you. The children and I have been praying that he would send one of his angels to come and spare us." In spite of myself, the tears started out. I couldn't help it. I never thought of my father in those exact terms before, but after she mentioned it, I could see it was true. I was sure that not a better man than Pa had walked the earth. I started remembering all the times he'd gone out away from Ma and me. The list seemed endless as I thought on it. Pa made sure everyone tried on the shoes before we left. I was amazed how they fit perfectly. Then I guessed if he was on an errand for the Lord would take care of seeing him, that he would get the right sizes. Amen. Tears were pouring down Widow Jensen's face as they stood up. Pa took each of the kids in his big arms and gave them hugs, and they clung to him and wouldn't let go. I could see how much they missed their father, like I could not believe. I was glad I still had mine. When Pa turned to go out the door after bundling up, he said, "The missus wanted me to invite you and the children over tomorrow for Christmas dinner. The turkey will be far more than three of us can eat, and a man can get very cantankerous if he has to eat turkey for too many meals. We'll be by to get you about 11. It'll be nice to have the little ones around again. Matt here hadn't been little for a while. I was the youngest. My brothers and two sisters had married and moved on." And Widow Jensen nodded, and once again, "Thank you, Brother Miles. You are truly a blessing." Out in the sled, it was cold. It was very cold. The wind had picked up, and I hardly noticed it. There was such a warmth burning within inside of me, I didn't even notice the cold, and we had gone on away. The horses were keeping beat to my heart. It just seemed like I couldn't get any more out of this evening, when suddenly out of the stillness of the clear night air, Pa turned to me and he said, "Matt, He said, your mom and I were real excited about tucking money away to buy that rifle for you this Christmas. We didn't have all we needed. You still wasn't going to get it. Then a man that owed me money for years past came by and squared up. And we became so excited. I was on my way to town this morning to buy that rifle. And I saw little Jakey out in the wood pile with his feet wrapped in those gunny sacks. You understand, I had to spend the money for shoes and a little candy. I hope you understand. I understood. I understood very well, and I was so glad that Pa had done it. Now that rifle was at the bottom of my list of priorities. Pa had given me more. He had given me the look on Widow Jensen's face and the radiant smiles of her three children for the rest of my life. Whenever I saw the Jensens split a block of wood, I remembered, and remembering brought me back the value of what a blessing can truly be. What blessing? In Luke, we read these words. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. His kingdom will never end. And you travel on just a little bit further to verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried into a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her, and what will be accomplished. What blessing? That blessing. Brothers and sisters, I say to you today, I know things are hard. I know things get tight, and I know they push you down, and I know you feel like you're in a press and you can't find any way out. I know it. And I know sometimes you can't look up to see the sky. I know it. And I know that sometimes you don't understand it. But I say to you, the joy of the blessing may not be yours at this moment, but it will be from you to someone. What blessing? All blessings. What blessings could you possibly see? Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger. What blessing comes from it all? That we are His, that we are surrounded by Him, that we are bought and paid for by Him, and that heaven stands eternal because of that blessing that one man didn't see. Amen? Amen. I want you to take that in your heart today and carry it with you. Let us pray. Father, as we prepare to depart from here today, we would ask that you would remind us it's not what blessing, question mark, it's what blessing, exclamation point. I pray for those in pain today, Father. I pray for those that need the strengthening, the lifting. I pray that as the second candle of Advent has been lit, we are now watchful for the blessing that is yet to come, Father. I thank you for these words, for these brothers, for these sisters, and I encourage them to continue in you. I pray your continued blessing upon them. I pray, Father, that we will never ask what blessing, question mark, we will add. We will say, what a blessing, and look for them, and be ever more thankful. That no matter what we do affect those around us. Just like Abraham, just like your son, Through his name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to sing the last hymn, if you have a particular need, if you need the power of that prayer bench, I'm right here. I'll pray with you. You can come up here and leave it on your own. Whatever you need, we ask you to come forward on that last hymn. Sister.
Please stand and turn to page 250.